Book critic Maureen Corrigan has been indulging her love of American history lately. She says the three books she's chosen for her summer roundup, a narrative history, an old-fashioned historical novel, and a biography about fading frontier life, would stoke any reader's curiosity about the past. Here's her review.
Summer, when I was a kid, meant weekend road trips in our family Rambler to sites of historical interest. We'd pack up deviled ham sandwiches and Cokes and make pilgrimages from our apartment in Queens to Teddy Roosevelt's house on Long Island or Washington Irving's house in Westchester. Sometimes there were longer expeditions to Valley Forge and once Williamsburg. I'm not sure how much history I absorbed. I mostly remember a lot of candle-making demonstrations. But forever after, summer to me has been the season for traveling back in time, either by hitting the road or happily hitting the books. David McCullough is about as dependable as they come if you're in the mood for a narrative history that sweeps you through luscious detail and anecdote into a bygone age. His beguiling new book is called The Greater Journey, and it departs from works like 1776 and John Adams in that it digs deep not into a historical event or personage, but rather into a cultural trend. Between 1830 and 1900, scores of young Americans with ambitions to be painters, architects, doctors, and scientists sailed to the old world to soak up the education the new world couldn't offer. Or, as McCullough puts it, not all pioneers went west. Specifically, they traveled to Paris. Some, like Mary Cassatt and Oliver Wendell Holmes, are familiar names. Others, like the educator Emma Willard and Mary Putnam, the first American woman to graduate from a French medical school, are revelations. McCullough evokes a vision of early 19th century Paris, crowded with restaurants and gambling houses. But his greatest achievement is the realization he gives readers of how new America still was back then, sans medical schools and serious art academies. He writes of American travelers in the 1830s seeing their first glimpse of the medieval cathedral at Rouen. The Americans were agog, McCullough notes, because the largest building in the United States at the time was the Capitol in Washington. Even the most venerable houses and churches at home dated back only to the mid-17th century. So historic a landmark as Philadelphia's Independence Hall was not yet 100 years old. McCullough's book is essentially about building civilization. Jeff Shara's novel, The Final Storm, is about destruction on an almost unfathomable scale. The Final Storm chronicles the Pacific Campaign during World War II. It's the fourth in Shara's series about the war and works both as a standalone novel and the conclusion to that series. There are no postmodern literary tricks here. Instead, Shara is a master in the Herman Woke, Kenneth Roberts mode of the kind of character-driven, plot-heavy page-turner that most of us think of when we think historical novel. In his introduction, Shara reminds us of some of the staggering numbers of the Pacific Campaign. The 2-week assault on Saipan resulted in 14,000 American deaths, Iwo Jima, 26,000 American casualties, and only 300 Japanese prisoners taken alive out of the 20,000 defending the island. The Final Storm is a vivid literary addition to the HBO series The Pacific, as well as films like Letters from Iwo Jima and Flags of Our Fathers, all of which underscore the peculiar brutalities and sometimes under-recognized sacrifices of the war in the Pacific. My last recommendation is a potentially annoying one because readers will have to sit tight for a couple of weeks before they get their hands on Dorothy Wickenden's alternative Western called Nothing Daunted. But I promise you, it's worth the wait. Wickenden, who's the executive editor of the New Yorker magazine, has written a superb biography that charts the adventures of her grandmother and her grandmother's best friend, society girls and Smith College graduates, who in the summer of 1916 set out to become school teachers in the isolated settlement of Elkhead, Colorado. Relying on photographs and letters that the women sent back to their anxious parents in Auburn, New York, Wickenden summons up the last moments of frontier life, where books were a luxury, and when blizzards hit, homesteaders' children would ski miles to school on curved barrel staves. David McCullough may tell us that not all pioneers went west, but some unlikely ones sure did. And Nothing Daunted also reminds us that different strains of courage can be found not just on the battlefield, but on the home front, too.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed The Greater Journey, Americans in Paris by David McCullough, The Final Story by Jeff Shara, and Nothing Daunted by Dorothy Wickenden.